This is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com. The on-demand phone-based taxi firm Uber, late last week, reached a massive settlement in two cases brought by its drivers in Massachusetts and California. Uber has agreed to pay $100 million to its drivers in unpaid wages, which could translate into an average of $8,000 per driver. The lawsuit did not address all issues, in particular whether or not Uber drivers are employees or independent contractors. Still, it represents an important chapter in the ongoing discourse over the so-called sharing economy. My guest is Rebecca Smith. She's the Deputy Director of the National Employment Law Project. Welcome to the show, Rebecca.
Thanks very much for having me, Sonali.
Thanks for joining us. So explain what exactly Uber drivers were suing Uber for. I want to say their employer, but as I noted, they're not technically considered employees of this company. So the company they work for, what were they claiming that Uber was withholding from them?
Well, treating them first as independent contractors. And that's a common mistake, calling the company an employer. In fact, I think I've heard the company itself sometimes call itself an employer and then correct itself, or at least its allies. They were suing for reimbursement of certain business expenses. And that, under California law, if you are an employee, your employer has to pay those expenses.
So, and what about Massachusetts? Is that the same in Massachusetts?
You know, I hadn't been following the Massachusetts case that closely, so I'm not quite certain whether the claims were the same or different in Massachusetts.
So was the settlement simply for California drivers then?
No,
it was for both states. Okay. So
two separate cases. And in fact, it settled 16 other cases at the same time.
I see. So essentially, Uber, it sounds like, is trying to, you know, finally settle all of its cases and move on. But of course, this is a company that has been sort of controversial right from the start, despite its massive growth and its actually still growing popularity. The fact is that there have been some complaints from people who use Uber, some complaints from people who see Uber as a competitor, and then of course complaints from those who are working for Uber, the drivers themselves. How bad are the conditions? Because, you know, if you're using Uber as a consumer, you're basically told you don't have to tip drivers too, that it's all taken care of. There's really no like financial transaction. So all of the money goes directly from the user of the car to the company, and then the driver just gets paid at some point later, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And so they get, the company gets to decide how much of the money goes to the driver.
Yes, they do. And in fact, that number changes as Uber takes more or less of a cut in certain places and as they raise and lower rates in certain places. And that the fare cuts have been really a catalyst for a lot of strikes all around the country by Uber drivers. If you can imagine how your income fluctuates because your wages are changing on a really regular, well, irregular basis.
So basically Uber was deciding at, you know, I'm assuming some sort of proprietary formula, how much of a cut of the consumer's pay to give to the driver. And so the driver could never really know for sure if they drove X number of hours a week, how much money they would actually be getting in their paycheck.
That's right. Wow. Sometimes Uber takes 20%, sometimes 25%. I'm sure there are other ranges that I'm not aware of. And then at the beginning of the year, Uber cut rates in, I think, more than 100 cities around the country. Mm-hmm. So those two things operate together. And that's, of course, not the only complaint by drivers. One is this issue of tips and Uber essentially telling customers that tips are included. And what we've seen, and this also fluctuates from driver to driver and city to city, but here in Seattle, where I'm based, we've seen drivers who say that because the costs of the business, many of them, are pushed onto the workers themselves, by the time they pay for gas and insurance and their debt on their car, they are earning sometimes as little as $3 per hour.
Wow.
And that just shouldn't happen in a country that values fairness.
And so what you're saying is that not only were they not able to rely on exactly what percentage of the fare they were getting from Uber, they were not being compensated, as states like California do require, for their expenses on the job, upkeep of your car, gas, etc. Yeah,
for in any case where a worker is treated as an independent contractor instead of an employee, they are at least being told that they're not entitled to minimum wage or overtime pay or protection against discrimination or protection under workers' comp or unemployment insurance or the right to organize and on, all those rights and benefits that in the last century we afforded to workers in our country.
And, you know, the tech industry likes to laud this idea of a sharing economy. But of course, from the perspective of the worker, you're essentially sharing your wages with the person that you're working for, but not sharing the costs. Do you feel that overall this dispute, these legal disputes, because Uber, as you said, settled 16 cases, it has so many lawsuits being brought against it, that this is an indication that we need to reevaluate this idea of the sharing economy?
I think we need to reevaluate or continue to evaluate this claim by the companies that workers are in business for themselves. I think if you ask anyone on the street if an Uber driver works for Uber or has their own independent business, they would probably say that people work for Uber. And that's kind of the essence of employee status. So calling your workers independent contractors deprives them of basic rights. It gets the company out from paying things like Social Security and workers' compensation, and it passes on capital costs that a company should logically pay itself onto its workers.
So how much of all of those, or how many of all of those issues were addressed by this lawsuit? Did this lawsuit and the settlement from the lawsuit for the two states, California and Massachusetts, to the tune of $100 million, simply address the issue of unpaid wages because of the varying cuts? Mm-hmm. Or did it also address the costs that aren't being compensated for and any of these other issues we've been discussing?
Well, the settlement did have some non-monetary components. So two of the core complaints of Uber drivers are this issue around tips and on arbitrary firings, where workers are deactivated for no reason that they can discern. And in fact,
what do you mean by deactivated?
Well, that's Uber speak for fired.
Fired. I mean, it sounds like, you know, you're turning a robot off, unplugging, yeah, deactivating. But that's how Uber refers to basically firing.
Yes, Uber deactivates your account. And, you know, there have been some fairly extreme examples that look an awful lot like traditional union busting, mm-hmm, where Uber has fired, deactivated two of the leaders of the union organizing campaign here in Seattle. But it's not been an issue just in Seattle. It's been an issue all around the country. So the settlement allows workers, drivers, to have in their car a notice that says tips are not actually included in the amount that you're paying, and we can accept tips. And then it sets up a process, or at least Uber agrees to set up a process around discipline and firing so that there's a little more transparency and appeals when workers are deactivated. And then the third thing it does is say that Uber will sit down with worker representatives every 3 months and talk through issues of concern to its drivers.
And so does this overall assist efforts to unionize Uber drivers? I can imagine a company like Uber would be absolutely, you know, petrified of the idea of unionization.
it very clearly does not include unionization of the drivers. And by calling them independent contractors, Uber has effectively taken them out from under the coverage of their under the National Labor Relations Act. That said, there are at least two, three maybe claims pending in front of the National Labor Relations Board by Uber drivers who are saying, we are employees and we have the right to organize, and Uber has taken that away from us in part by calling us independent contractors.
It sounds as though Uber is hoping that it can essentially be exempt from all of the laws, the labor laws that workers and their advocates have fought like tooth and nail for years to have in place. And I should add, minimum week regulations, especially compared to, say, European countries, but still some modicum of protection that Uber feels that because it's this newfangled tech company that, you know, is making it so convenient for users, that it should be exempt from the traditional worker protections that other companies have to uphold.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's a really important thing for consumers to know, that these drivers are being treated as if they are running their own business, and they are shouldering a lot of the costs of running a business. And at the same time, they, at least in Uber's view, are exempt from all of these protections in the 21st century that we all fought so hard for in the 20th century. I think there's one thing that maybe you and I and Uber agree on, and that's that our system isn't good enough and that we ought to have more protections for workers in this country. And we ought to have that whether you call workers employees or independent contractors. And I think that's the real thing we ought to all be looking for and working for, whether we're employees, employees with multiple jobs that are trying to make ends meet, whether we're independent contractors, whatever we want to call ourselves or the business wants to call us.
Well, finally, is there an effort separate from the settlement and the lawsuit that led to it to challenge this naming of drivers as independent contractors?
Yes, there are a number of cases pending, both against Uber and other companies in the on-demand economy. And in fact, the day that this settlement was announced, a new class action was filed against Uber Inc. in Florida. So this case does not resolve the issue of employee status for Uber drivers, but there are plenty of opportunities ahead to do that.
And also, do you think the settlement and just the sheer size of it, I mean, we're talking $100 million, that's enormous. And the fact that Uber can afford to pay that without going bankrupt also is an indication, by the way, of its economic clout and how much it is sort of sucking from its drivers to keep its shareholders happy. But would it impact other companies like Lyft? Do you think it would have a sort of sobering effect or an effect to a warning sign to companies like Lyft and other similar companies that, to be on notice?
Yeah, I think it's possible that for companies that are less litigious, we will see classification moving from independent contractor to employee status. And in fact, we have seen that. There are at least a dozen small to mid-sized companies in the on-demand economy that either called their workers employees from the beginning or have switched to that model.
Give out a website for your organization, National Employment Law Project.
Yes, we do. It's NELP.org.
And we'll post that to our site later today. Rebecca, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Rebecca Smith is the Deputy Director of the National Employment Law Project. Again, NELP.org is the website. This is Rising Up with Sonali. I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com.